One show gives you the information that can change and shape your life. The IMA Doctors. Get straight talk and honest answers to your healthcare questions from the team of doctors at IMA Healthcare.
It is the IMA Doctors Show. Amy Eiler, Jack Sunday sitting in for JJ Gordon, and we have Dr. Michael Blankenship from IMA Healthcare with us today. Dr. Blankenship is a board-certified dermatologist who provides comprehensive care to patients with various types of skin conditions and diseases. Welcome back to the studio. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
And as a reminder, you can call, text, or email any questions you may have for Dr. Blankenship today, 701-237-5948. You can also text us at 35270. Happy to take your messages there. But we have a few planned topics centered around winter skin issues. I understand winter can wreak havoc on your skin, making it dry, itchy, irritated. Do you have some general advice for all of us on this, Dr. Blankenship?
Yeah, so generally, even if you don't have any trouble with your skin other times of year, often when the cold and very dry weather starts in the wintertime, people will end up developing flares of eczema, cracked skin, dry skin, itchy skin, sometimes called winter itch, colloquially. So in general, switching to a non-soap cleanser like Dove or Cetaphil can go a long way. That leaves as much moisture in your skin as possible. And then to use a good thick moisturizer. Probably need to avoid lotions if you're having trouble and switching to creams or ointments, something thicker that you kind of have to scoop out or squeeze out of a tube rather than pump out, which are mostly water.
What do you recommend for old skin? That is skin that looks like crepe paper.
Yeah, the old crepey skin. Yeah. So some of that is dryness, less oil production, which does happen as we go through life. Some of it is actually a slight thinning of the epidermis and the dermis, the top two layers of the skin. So there's not too much you can do about that. But as far as moisturizer goes, to just use something that lasts longer. Lotions are not particularly long-lasting. They're not particularly effective. Generally speaking, you'll want to use, as I mentioned, a cream or an ointment, something thick. Ointments are the best, but they're very thick and sticky. A lot of people don't tolerate them on their skin throughout the day.
Okay, what about an oil?
So oils are also very effective. Now, you'll want to use an oil, though, that's designed for moisturization. Some people use, like, over-the-counter cooking oil, like coconut oil or coconut butter or olive oil. And they can be used, and they can be effective moisturizers. Unfortunately, they can also be used as a food source by several microorganisms that live on our skin, and they can cause rashes themselves. Not dangerous ones, and they're very easily treated, but they can be somewhat unpleasant.
That sounded so icky.
Yeah, it's true, though, especially the olive oil and the coconut oil.
Okay.
Now, fractionated coconut oil is my favorite oil-based moisturizer. If you fractionate it out, then you can get parts of the oil and parts of the fatty material that are very effective at moisturization and don't really cause any of those other rashes.
Okay, is that the word we need to look for when we're buying this? Can we buy that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yep. So there are several brand names, like Capri is specially fractionated out, and that has a seal of approval from the National Eczema Foundation. It's not really a protected term, though, and so many products that are perfectly fine to use as moisturizers will not have that exact wordage on the container, unfortunately.
Is there any good benefit to your epidermal layer if you take plenty of fluids internally, drink a lot of water?
Actually, no. Transit.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately.
What? This is the big myth we've all been living with?
Yeah, you can't hydrate your skin inside out, unfortunately. So the problem with dry skin is not the moisture, because the skin itself makes the oil and your body through the blood system supplies the water. The trouble is what's called transepidermal water loss. So that water going through the top layer of your skin too fast, causing it to sort of become excessively dry. And that has to be fixed by replacing the barrier function on top of the skin.
I feel like we've lived a lie right now, because I will never forget asking someone about skin, and remember who she was working for, and she was like, well, the key is to drink a lot of water during the day.
You just take more trips to the bathroom. So
your
kidney will only hold on to the amount of water that it needs.
I'm so glad we put that to bed today.
Our phone number is here, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. That pound 5346, is that still working?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And you can text us at 35270. You can remember that because 35 times 2 is 70, 35270.
Yes.
And if you would like to talk to Dr. Blankenship, feel free to do so. We'll take your calls. Well, we'll have him here till 1:30, and the waiting room is available for you.
Let's talk acne this time of year.
Sure.
Freezing temperatures, windy conditions, are they changing your routine if you're dealing with acne?
Not necessarily. However, when someone's skin is inflamed, whether it be from windburn or chap or something like that, acne that may otherwise not be particularly inflamed can become inflamed. And so sometimes I do end up using, if you know, more anti-inflammatory antibiotics than I would other times of year. But that's really the only difference as far as acne is concerned.
Are there any new treatments or medications on the market for acne?
There are actually. So, not too terribly new, but over this last year, there was a topical antibiotic called minocycline that has been released in foam form. That was available many decades ago, but then became unpopular for some reason. But that's back on market now. Very, okay. Very effective.
Interesting.
Yep.
And this would be a cleanser then?
No, foam. Leave-on foam.
Yeah, oh, it's a leave-on foam.
Yeah, you kind of squirt it in your hand, then you just kind of put it on your face. Yep.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. Are there good, are the over-the-counter remedies for acne getting better?
Yes. So over the last several years, the weakest of the retinoids called Differin or Adapalene, the 0.1% gel was released for over-the-counter use. And though it's the weakest of the old prescription retinoids, it is actually very effective. And for people with relatively modest acne, they'll clear actually on a 3-month trial of Differin.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Because I feel like the industry standard for a long time was like this. Salicylic acid, what was that stuff that we all used?
Yeah, salicylic acid and benzoyl peroxide.
Yes.
Those were probably the two mainstays because they were available without a prescription. Sulfur washes were also available without a prescription. But Adapalene has been available now for several years.
And this is even better, it sounds like.
Does chocolate really have anything to do with acne?
Not that we know of. So unfortunately,
where did that come from?
Yeah, well, dietary studies in humans are, for the most part, garbage because they're very poorly controlled, which is why every month you seem to be hearing conflicting reports coming from different sort of dietary studies. And the fact is that we have very poorly controlled dietary studies in most humans. And you can't really draw conclusions from too many of them. So I tell people not to try to do elimination diets. It usually doesn't work. Probably the strongest evidence that we have for food that may worsen acne is there seems to be something in the skim milk fraction that may worsen acne in a small number of people.
So interesting.
For the most part, you can eat all the chocolate and pizza you want. So.
Good news.
Again. Yeah,
it'll cause other problems.
We're just debunking everything about our skin today. I love this.
Well, I'll tell my diabetes doctor you said that.
Yeah, right?
We do have a caller here. Do you want to take
it? Yeah, let's do that.
Betty, you're on with Dr. Blankenship from IMA Healthcare.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Blankenship. I hope I have what is a simple question.
Okay.
I have been around COVID, flu, colds, et cetera, for at least 6 months, and I have never came down with anything.
Okay.
I had COVID shot last March. I haven't had a booster nor a flu shot. I'm wondering if I'm doing something wrong.
Well, I'd recommend, if you qualify, I'd recommend the booster, and I definitely recommend a flu vaccine. Now, the flu vaccine appears to be very poorly matched this year. So we didn't guess the strains very well, and that's likely because there was so little flu last year. However, we know that even in years when the strains are not matched particularly well, even if they don't prevent infection, they can reduce serious disease, very similar to what we're seeing with the SARS vaccines. It may not necessarily prevent infection, but the infection tends to be much less severe. So it's definitely worthwhile getting both of those two things.
Well, Betty, it sounds like you're doing something right.
Yeah.
I am.
If you've been exposed and getting through it unscathed.
Or washing your hands well. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
My skin is hanging off my hands.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that, too, over the last 2 years, especially in the hospitals.
You know, and And that's a good point. This hand sanitizer and this washing our hands that we're doing more diligently, while it is a very good thing, it is hard on the skin.
Yes, it's very hard on the skin. And unfortunately, doctors have been dealing this with this for several decades. So.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I've been using about a drop of Dawn liquid. That's what I use to wash my hands about 12 times a day.
Yeah.
And it really...
effective cleaner.
It really is, but I can't pick up like one cocktail napkin off of the pile, you know?
Yep.
Because ever since I started washing my hands, I can't do anything with them. But,
yep.
But yeah.
They don't hurt anymore.
That's good.
We have a text here. Yep. I'm going to give a shot at getting this word right because I don't think it's spelled right, but how can we stop sebaceous cysts?
Oh, okay. So people often use the term sebaceous cyst, sometimes even physicians. What we're really referring to is what's called an epidermal inclusion cyst, which is basically an invagination of the skin. So you can think of the cyst as being like a balloon, and the inner lining of that balloon is actually contiguous with the top layer of our skin. And so the dead skin cells that usually just kind of flake off onto the ground, they kind of get piled up in the middle there, and they turn into this white, kind of cheesy looking material. It does have an odor associated with it that's not particularly pleasant. And unfortunately, we don't have any way of preventing them. They can be completely random. Some families carry versions of genes that make them more likely to develop these cysts. But unfortunately, once a cyst develops, then if you ever want to be rid of it, we have to simply cut the cyst lining out, which is relatively easy to do. But as of now, we don't know of any way that we can prevent them. Extra washing doesn't help, scrubs, microderm peels, things like that.
Would it be in the same place for your whole life?
Yes. Once it develops, it kind of stays there.
Yeah.
I cut them off nearly every day. Yep.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
You have to have them cut off. There's nothing you can do at home to minimize them.
I don't recommend trying to intervene at home.
Yeah.
You can get infections and things like that. You can lance and drain them, especially when they're inflamed and tender. That will reduce the inflammation, improve the symptoms, but it will not permanently remove the cyst in most instances.
Interesting. This is the IMA Doctor Show. That is Dr. Michael Blankenship with us until 1:30 here on KFGO. He is a board-certified dermatologist who provides comprehensive care to patients with various types of skin conditions and diseases. We'll continue to take your calls and questions when we come back. The IMA Doctor Show is on the air with Dr. Michael Blankenship, taking your questions, and we'll continue to take them at 35270. You can also call us at 237-5948, 800-880-5346. My doctor says I should exfoliate my back. Any product or technique suggestions? Thanks. That's tough. Why would you need to exfoliate your back?
Exfoliation can help with dry skin in some instances. It can also help with acne, for instance, in some instances.
Ingrown hairs.
Yes, depending. Depending even. Yep. And folliculitis occasionally even can be helped by a little bit of exfoliation. The back is hard because it's hard to reach it. And so generally speaking, when someone needs to exfoliate an area that's hard to reach like that, I'll recommend just a stiff brush in the shower can actually help quite a bit. And then combining that with a salicylic acid wash, about a 2% salicylic acid wash can be very effective in helping that. Though it can be drying, so you may not be able to use it every day.
I have never watched Dr. Pimple Popper, someone wants to know if you do. And another person wants to know if dermatologists really pop things like we see on Dr. Pimple Popper.
Or do they use other methods?
I've never personally watched it. However, I have watched a screen that my wife had it on. So I have seen it. We will occasionally pop something like is very popular to see on that program, though usually we don't need to do something like that. About the only time that we'll do that routinely is when we need to drain an abscess or a boil, or if there is a cyst, like an epidermal inclusion cyst that's inflamed, and we need to get the material out of it to sort of speed healing. then we will make an incision into it and cut it. But it's usually not nearly as impressive as it looks on the television
show. You wonder the process to get on that show. Like, what is that like? And people are asking to me. I'm just very confused
So those shows usually are people that maybe have not had access to health care, and so a problem may have been slightly larger than they would have liked, didn't intervene as early as possible, and so they get sort of medical care with the caveat that they have to sign off being okay with maybe having it put on to a television
program. So I think it's safe to say that you are not watching this show on the regular.
Not on the regular. Okay. No.
Yeah.
No.
Not on his screen.
Yeah.
Not on his screen. Keep that off my screen. Okay, we'll continue to take your questions. And we'll talk eczema when we get back. I know that that's always a topic when you're here, and probably a good topic for the winter months.
Dr. Michael Blankenship from IMA Healthcare is with us today. We'll take your calls, your texts. Dr. Blankenship is a board-certified dermatologist who provides comprehensive care to patients with various types of skin conditions and diseases. And he'll be back, as we will, after CBS News. This is the IMA Doctor Show. And we have with us Dr. Blankenship, a board-certified dermatologist who provides comprehensive care to patients with various types of skin conditions and diseases. And
let's get to the text club.
Okay, do we want to do that or get back to eczema like we promised?
Yeah, we will. We will get to eczema. That'll be next. But this text came in on the break. My hands are in bad condition from washing and using hand sanitizer. They're very sore in deep cracks. What could I use to help heal them?
So as far as if you actually have like fissures and cracking starting, as far as over the counters, you'll want to use really thick emollients. Some of my favorite are CeraVe's healing ointment, Aquaphor, Eucerin. They're very thick, but they're very moisturizing. Neutrogena makes a Norwegian formula that's actually quite good for the hands as well, not quite as thick. And then as far as medications go, over the counter, the strongest steroid that you can get is 1% hydrocortisone. It's not particularly strong, especially when you're talking about thick skin like the hands, but it can have effects. I would probably get the ointment version of that and then use that 3 to 4 times a day. If the combination of those have not helped in about 5 to 7 days, then you're probably going to need a prescription strength topical steroid.
And, okay, when you talk about those ointments, I have a son who sees you because he's got skin problems all the time, but he also suffers from this awful, sore, red, inflamed, cracked hands, especially in the winter months. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, at night, of course, is a good time to get a 4-year-old to just keep something on his hands without, can you put something, now I usually do a topical and then I wrap it loosely. Is it recommended that you can put something over the top of your hands to seal it in?
Yes. So in general, you don't want to put steroids under occlusion for too long in most areas, but the hands and the feet are very sort of resistant to steroid side effects. And so especially for the hands, what you can do is you can put the ointment on, and then you can get a pair of white pharmacy gloves, cotton gloves, and you can actually soak them in water, put those on top, and then you can put something like a nitrile or polyvinyl plastic glove on top of that.
Oh, why the wet?
Because that helps sort of hydrate the top layer of the skin and allows the medications to penetrate somewhat better. And so these wet wrapping is sort of the general term for that.
Wow.
And that can be very effective, though it's a little bit labor intensive, and some kids will just strip it off as soon as you leave the room.
But yeah,
if you can get them to keep it on, it definitely helps. For adults, it's something that they can do quite easily.
So for someone with this deep cracks, would you want to do that wet wrap, or would that?
You definitely could, or you could merely put hydrocortisone ointment on and then put like a polyvinyl glove on top of that.
So you want to use sort of the disposable gloves is what you're talking about when you say that?
Generally, yes, because they don't allow water to pass, and so it keeps the areas hydrated. The white cotton pharmacy gloves are non-disposable. You can wash them a period of time before they start to break down. They're usually sold in packs of 5.
Okay. Okay.
These hands, that this text, my hands are in bad condition from washing and
the
very sore and the deep cracks. I wonder if those are blue collar hands, someone who might, you know, change tires for a living or weld or something like that. Or
possibly, though, you know, alcohol will defat the skin. And there's plenty of people that are using just hand sanitizer instead of soap and water to clean their hands, especially in this day and age. And that will do the same thing as time goes on. It will just strip that oil away.
Someone that texted in here and said, what kind of ointment? No, I use Gold Bond lotion. That works well. And someone asked, what kind of ointment did you say?
So there are many on the market, but some of the easier to find ones are Aquaphor, Eucerin, Vanicream Company makes one called Vanapply. CeraVe makes what they call the healing ointment. They will come in like 1 pound screw top jars. Those are all easy to find places like grocery stores, Target, Walmart's, pharmacies.
I didn't know Gold Bond did the lotion.
Oh yeah, they do lotions, they do creams. I don't know that they make an ointment, but the Gold Bond hand cream is actually pretty effective.
Yep.
Someone said, Dr. Blankenship does a great job. Washing hands often has severely dried them. Aveeno Daily Moisturizer once or twice daily works awesome for this person. That's just, you've got better skin than the rest if you can just use lotion twice a day, right?
Yeah, so everyone's different. Some people, even under ideal circumstances, in the middle of summertime when it's nice and humid out, you know, they're not washing their hands a ton. They'll have terrible eczema. It does happen. And for other people, it won't happen until the very worst times of year with some sort of insult, like frequent hand washing. And everyone's skin is just different.
You know what drives me crazy in this hand washing obsession that I've come down with over the last year and a half or whatever?
Yeah.
Even in some medical institutions, and certainly commercial restrooms like at a convenience store or anywhere, They have those water faucets that you put your hands under, then the water comes out.
Yeah.
And it never gets warm.
Yeah, it never gets warm.
It never gets warm. And so what good is that, you know, for trying to stay clean?
But do you need warm water to actually get your hands clean?
Warm water will work somewhat better, but even cold water will work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you still have the detergent action of the hand cleanser. Mm-hmm.
Someone wants to know a good daily regimen for a teen with a decent amount of acne.
So if you want to start off over the counter, what I would do is get a benzoyl peroxide wash. This is available anywhere from 2.5% to 10% over the counter. There's a ton of brand names and generic. They're all the same for this purpose. Lather it up in the shower in the morning, then rinse it off. Make sure you rinse it all the way off or it's going to bleach your clothes and towels. Do that at least 3 days a week. It can be done daily, but do that at least 3 days a week. And then get over-the-counter Differin 0.1% gel. Put a thin layer on the affected areas, a thin layer on the face except for the eyelids at night, and do that for 12 weeks. It's not a fast regimen, but it can be effective. But if after 3 months that hasn't cleared you up, then you're going to need a prescription version medicine.
Here's a good question. Has been talked about. Does hand sanitizer have a negative impact on the body's natural ability to keep off bacteria?
It can. So it can do that one of two ways. One, it can reduce your own normal bacteria, which actually is an important part of our immune system because it outcompetes potentially harmful bacteria and other microorganisms. And then two, if it causes eczema and you get cracks and defects in your epidermis, then that can allow for infections to set up. So yes, it is possible, but overall it's a net gain.
19 minutes after 1 o'clock. By the way, we have Sarah Heinrich standing by. She's ready. She called me a second ago and told me to tell you.
Did she?
Then I forgot.
Oh yeah, no, she messaged me too. I got it.
Okay.
Behind the scenes on the air. Dr. Michael Blankenship for just a few more moments here on the IMA Doctor Show. Get your questions in to 35270.
The doctor is in. The IMA Doctor Show is underway here. We're talking with Dr. Blankenship about skin care and such. Someone texted in at 35270. noting the bag balm is amazing for fissures in the skin.
Yep, that's a very effective hand cream. A lot of my patients like that. Yep.
Is that the one in the green tin?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think it is. There's also one called O'Keefe's, and I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah,
I think Watkins sells it. Someone's got a basement full of Watkins products.
Yeah, no, that's actually a very popular product, and does a good job. Yep.
And when my hands are dry from high alcohol office soaps, they get dry and cold, and after applying a Veeno moisturizing lotion, they warm up as well, says someone.
Yeah, Veeno's a great product line. Yep. Mm. Neutrogena, Veeno, Cetaphil Cerave. Yep.
Interesting. Okay, back to eczema for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something you should be doing while you're taking a bath or a shower? I know there are the eczema baths that you can get and those kinds of things. Are those effective?
So we, for a long time, we would recommend colloidal oatmeal packets. Aveeno, for instance, makes one of those. Vanicream makes a bath oil called Robithol, and we used to make recommendations to apply that to the bath. They actually did some, a number of years ago, did some pretty reasonable studies demonstrating very little to no objective benefit from that. However, a lot, even though there wasn't a measurable outcome improvement, a lot of patients felt that their skin felt better, or that they think it felt better, wasn't as itchy. And so, yes, if you can use bath oils, you can use colloidal oatmeal packets in there to help hydrate the skin, and it makes at least some people feel better.
Is Epsom salt good?
I wouldn't recommend the Epsom salt.
For that, because?
Yeah, because a lot of times they'll have either dyes or scents in those Epsom salts, and that can cause trouble, especially for people with sensitive skin. There's nothing wrong with the Epsom salt baths themselves, but for people with sensitive skin, it can sometimes cause it to flare.
A heat or cold good for eczema? I know some people do like cold washcloths over their eczema. I'm thinking of that.
Yeah, so the temperature in itself doesn't affect it very much.
Okay.
Now, hot water will, of course, strip more oil than more lukewarm water. So I usually recommend not really hot baths or showers, but sort of tepid or lukewarm, even though they're not, they're a little less pleasant.
Right.
and then during, if you're in an area with a lot of heat and you start getting flushed, if your skin's already itchy, that will often make the skin feel somewhat more itchy. And so it can sort of temporarily make the feeling a little bit worse. But the temperature itself is not as important.
Okay. Someone wants to know, and we got to take this question, even though we answered it at the beginning of the show, because it was maybe my biggest moment of like, what? Someone wants to know, is there any correlation between water consumption and complexion?
No, not really. As long as you're having enough water consumption that there's no trouble with like your overall metabolism, then no, extra water is not going to help. Your kidney's just going to realize it doesn't need it, and then you're just going to urinate more.
Blew my mind, you guys. You guys, we've been sold on this for how long? So I just had to get back to it. Okay. Someone said I have
seborrheic dermatitis.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. On scalp and face. When they get a flare up, it's incredibly itchy. Yep. I already use the ketoconazole shampoo. What else can we recommend?
So, first, there's an over-the-counter strength of ketoconazole or Nizoral shampoo is the brand name for that, and a prescription version. The prescription version is 2%. It does work quite a bit better than the 1%, but you will get flares from time to time. And so during a flare for the face, I will often prescribe a combination medicine of a topical antifungal similar to ketoconazole that's mixed in with an anti-inflammatory steroid that does quite a good job. And then for the scalp, I will often give a low-strength steroid solution that can be worked into the scalp at night. And that usually turns things around in just a couple of days.
Okay. Good stuff. Thanks for all of the great questions, by the way. If you would like, Dr. Blankenship, I guess I should ask before you go if you're taking appointments.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Okay. Okay, good deal. And in some cases, same-day appointments.
Yes, especially if you have some sort of urgent or emergent problem, something's causing a lot of pain, you're worried about an infection, something like that, we can usually work you in even if my schedule is technically full.
Yeah, which is amazing. So put this number in your cell phone. That's the best way to do it. Save it under your contacts. 701-280-2033. That is IMA Healthcare. They focus on whole person, preventative, and specialized medical care. Instead of simply treating a symptom, they'll work to find the source of that symptom and what it means to your overall health. You can find out more about their practice at imahealthcare.com. They're located on 45th Street and 32nd Avenue South across from Mexican Village. And thank you so much, Dr. Blankenship. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Good job.
Join us January 17th for the next IMA Doctors Show right here on KFGO.